Welcome to the Sunday night There is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website, oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. We will now introduce our speaker, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Please help me welcome Heidi B., a compulsive overeater from New York.
Thank you, Catherine, and thank you everyone for having me at your meeting. I'm very grateful to be of service. My name is Heidi B. I am a recovered compulsive eater from New York. I'm very, very grateful to be able to say that today. I came into this program for the first time in 2003, and I walked in having just had a lap band surgery, which is a, I suppose you guys know what it is. You're all nodding your head. So, and the only reason that I got, it's a weight loss surgery, obviously, the reason that I got the surgery, the reason that I came to OA rather, is that when I was going in for the consultation, one of the doctors, the psychiatrist, said you need to see someone for your emotional eating. And for whatever reason, in that moment, I thought, well, they're not going to let me have the surgery if I don't go get therapy. I was then guided to OA by the therapist that I sought out. As a result of that, which just ended up being like one of many happy coincidences. So when I came in, I absolutely like hated everything that I saw in my first meeting. I was 25 at the time, and what I saw was, or what I, you know, what I perceived to be a bunch of older ladies with Sunday hats on. And, you know, and some of them were saying that they had 35 years and 40 years. And I just thought like, oh my God, that sounds awful. And I left and I didn't come back for some time. I was losing weight because of the surgery. And what ended up happening actually was that I actually started to swing the other way in my eating disorder. And and this is just my experience, so just a disclaimer, everyone's experience is different, but my experience with this particular surgery was that I was getting food stuck and feeling like I was going to die. And so I would throw it up, and then I realized that I could throw it up. And so I started to do that. And so I started binging and purging. And I became more and more crazy and in my head about the food. It was all I could think about. And I literally could not function in my day-to-day life. And that was ultimately what made me willing to give OA a real try. It still took me a while before I got abstinent and worked the steps, but eventually I did. And I was at a normal body weight, doing tons of service, sponsoring lots of people, and abstinent for a number of years before relapsing. When I relapsed, I went out, and I was out for 6 years before I came back in March 2021. And that's where my current recovery journey begins. I came back sometime, maybe it was late February, early March, and it took me a couple weeks before I got abstinent, and I've been abstinent since the end of March of 2021. But I have not been recovered since that time. The big lesson of these last couple years has been abstinence is not recovery, and that'll be my memoir. Abstinence is not recovery, a memoir by Heidi B. Look for it on its shelves next thing. and I, you know, so even though I wasn't eating, I was really like still wreaking havoc in my life, in my own life. And somehow I got into in touch with, well, there was a speaker at a meeting that I was at. And of course, I had my camera off because I didn't want anyone to see that I gained all my weight back and whatever. And she said that she was available to sponsor. So I called her, but it took me like 3 days to call her because I just was afraid to pick up the phone and call. So by the time I called her, she wasn't available anymore. But she said, you know, but I'm going to give you all this information and I'm going to hook you up and you have to call this person and go to this meeting. And that is where I came into contact with a group of people that were doing this program through the Big Book, and talking about being recovered, which I had not heard in my previous OA life. And so, you know, in fact, when I first heard it, I was just like offended by it. I was like, how can anyone say that they're recovered, you know? But it grabbed me in because I saw that these people were like really happy and free, and all of them were like gorgeous. And I was like, and so I, you know, I got looped into this community of beautiful people that were working the program in a way that I had not done it before. And I guess just to sort of back up for a second and talk about, you know, how I actually worked the program, when I came in, well, during the 6 years that I was in relapse, I would say that I was increasingly depressed and at a point of just severe depression and suicidal I was thinking about suicide. And I had never hurt myself, but I was like very frequently like having thoughts of like, it'd be great if I like got hit by a truck, you know? And I was sitting on my couch and looking outside my window and knowing that like life was happening out there and I was not part of it. And I had truly at that point, I'd given up. I'd given up and I surrendered to the food. I knew that the food was my master, and I decided to stop fighting it. And that's just where I was. So in many ways, that was my step one, was in that knowing that, you know, a lot of times I hear people say step one is like, you know, I'm done. I know I'm done. Step one for me was, I know I'm never going to be done. I cannot do this. So I came in, you know, in that position. And I can share pictures if at some point. But what happened was that I was still seeing this therapist that I had met in 2003. And who I'm, you know, I trust very much and have a wonderful relationship with. And, you know, she was just looking at me. We were having the same discussion that we had week after week. And I was just, you know, getting increasingly more miserable. And she just looked at me and she was like, I wish I could just shake you. And she was like, her eyes were like welling up. And in that moment, I was, you know, very like, touched and also surprised by her reaction. And she told me that she herself is in a 12-step program. And after all this time of working with her, I didn't know that. And for whatever reason in that moment, it just gave me like this spark of hope and willingness to go back. So that's when I started to go back to meetings. And as I started to say earlier, it took me a couple weeks before I actually like did anything. And when I did, I started to actually talk to people, and I just had a spark of hope that I didn't have before. So working through the steps, I started to work with someone and we got up to this fourth step and I was like asking all these questions and she was very frustrated with my questions and I ended up stopping working with that person and switching to another sponsor and starting all over again. But that ended up just being like a really good experience for me, even though I was like worried about losing time, you know. I ended the way that the sponsor took me through the steps was that, you know, she basically took me through the book page for page. And the first three steps were just really reading. And it was like, you know, when I got to the third step, it was like, you know, are you willing to continue doing the work? And, you know, that was it. That was all that it needed to be for me because I couldn't deal with like trying to figure out what my higher power was supposed to be. And I still don't know exactly what, you know, higher power is supposed to be or, you know, is or isn't. I just know that I have, that there's some power that's greater than me that does for me what I cannot do for myself. So I actually just want to pause and maybe share pictures really quickly because I feel like I'm a little bit all over the place. This first picture is right before I went in to have surgery, and this is my son who was 10 years old at the time. I was 25, and this was right after the surgery. Then, this was sort of in the years in between when I started, but I got into recovery and got to a normal body weight, and that's my son, and this is a niece and a nephew. And then these are the years subsequent when I started to sort of fall back into, fall out of the program and into relapse. And I feel like these are just like mug shots of, you know, this like very unhappy sort of progression. And then these are just throughout the years. And this was right before, this was 10 days before I got abstinent. So right before my current abstinent date. And then this is what it looks like now. These are actually, should be probably updated, but my life and recovery has just been, you know, full of friendship and connection. And it's just been such a different experience from the first time around, because the first time around, I was very much like, I'm going to do all this service and it's, you know, I'm this big cheerleader and I'm sponsoring all these people, but I was never truly connecting to anyone. And what I learned when I came back this time is also that I was truly not entirely abstinent. And I didn't know that the first time around, but that was the very beginning of what made a major difference in my recovery this time. And what that means for me is that there are certain foods and ingredients that I cannot eat. And there are more foods and ingredients than I thought that there, you know, I just honestly just thought it was sugar because that's what everybody does. And it's just sugar and it's sugar. And it's, you know, sugar wasn't even like at the top of the list when I really started to evaluate you know, what I was eating and what my allergic foods were. But truly coming to an understanding of that, that these foods actually will kill me. and I think that that's the hardest part. It was the hardest part for me, and I see people struggle with that, you know, in just when I'm talking to, especially people who are newer and so forth, just this, you know, the idea of truly, for me, truly understanding that like my life was actually on the line, and I'm grateful to, you know, that I actually got to a place where I was I could see that I was dying. Like I was actually like, I did not want to be alive. And I know that I know that it just, it became very real for me. I was heavier than when I went in to have surgery. I couldn't move. I could not wash very well. So I was, I really felt like, I don't know exactly why things happened the way that they did, but it's just a good thing that it happened that way, because I really didn't want to exist anymore at that point. What else do I want to say? I guess, going through the fourth and fifth steps for me was very much about really like taking a look at the stories that I had been telling myself my entire life. What I thought was the truth, what I had decided the situations were, and then really taking a look at that and turning it around and with different set of lenses, looking at where I had really stretched the stories, where I had made things mean something that they didn't. And then in the fifth step was really like sharing that with someone. And as I started to say earlier, a big thing for me was always that I never had like close friends or connections. And so sharing that with, just being like truly vulnerable and open with someone, although it was scary, was cathartic. And I like cried through my entire inventory when I read it out. it felt freeing to do that. And also it helped me to feel like I wasn't alone, because my sponsor wasn't like, you horrible person, or judging me in any way. Those are the things that I had like been carrying around in shame, and so worried that people were going to, what would people think of me, and et cetera. What I did with my sponsor from that was sort of pick out, she gave me a list of assets and defects, and we picked out, those things that were uncovered in my inventory that were blocking me really from having a higher a relationship with a higher power. And I feel like that's an ongoing, I know for me that that's an ongoing thing. I'm constantly working on the character defect du jour. And so that's something that sort of goes in rotation. I think it was, I guess just to like fast forward a little bit, it was really more in making my amends that I really had a spiritual experience in a way that was like truly profound. And that was more so on the amends that I made with my mother, who had passed away. My mother passed away in 2010 from this disease. She was 55 years old. And I had a lot of resentment against her in the way that many of us share. I've heard many people share what they do with their mothers. And I had really been haunted by her death. And for those 11 years leading up to that, when I made the amends, I had been having nightmares. I couldn't stop thinking about her. It was literally haunting me, and I was just like, I would look in the mirror and I would see her, and I was just being driven crazy by it. like really crazy. And when I made the amends, I made amends with her and my father, who had also already passed away. He had passed away 25 years before, and I'd never visited his grave location. And so I went there and read them both letters. But when I read the letter for my mother, I just felt like this wave of peace pass over me. And I have not had a nightmare since that day. I have not, you know, I think about her, but not in the same like haunting way. And I've let go of a lot of the, you know, I've let go of all of the anger. I mean, it's hard to explain, I suppose, but there's so much there. But one of the resentments specifically with my mother was that my father was an alcoholic, and he would beat her, he would beat us, he would leave for weeks and months at a time, and then she would bring him back in. And I always felt like she was choosing him over us. And so that was a big resentment that I held on to for a long, long time. And I don't know, I just, you know, I could see in like doing this work, you know, that it wasn't like a decision that she was making against me personally. That she was sick and suffering in the same way that he was, that I am, you know, that many of us are, and that she was just doing the best that she could, what she had. And I was able to feel some like real compassion for her and for him. He died from alcoholism and drug abuse. Also at a fairly young age. So that was like a big turning point in my recovery. And the, you know, the rest of the steps, 10, 11, and 12 are the keep, you know, doing it every day stuff. And in the first time that I had done the steps, even though we've like worked through the big book, I was never instructed to do like 10 steps and 11 steps. I do remember I was doing like a morning meditation, but I wasn't doing a review of my day, and I certainly wasn't checking in with a higher power throughout my day. And so doing on-the-spot inventories and, you know, actually taking a moment. I actually do my 11th step the following morning. I can't do it at night. I try, and I just, as soon as I start to write, I like fall asleep. So I don't do it at night. So I do it in the morning. And I actually, for me, it seems to be more helpful, because I, in that moment of like quiet before the day is started, I can really like sit back and reflect and really think about you know, how did yesterday go, and not in a way that is punishing, because that always was like, you know, it was like, oh, what did you do wrong? You could have done this better. And you know, I would go through and kind of just like, oh, of course you know, of course you were dishonest, of course, you know, whatever. And you know what, like the truth of the matter is that I'm often dishonest. I'm so dishonest, and I have to correct myself all the time. But it's not about beating myself up. It's about, okay, like, you know, here are the things that you're doing, and you know, what is, you know, it doesn't align with what my ideals are for myself, what I believe my higher power would want me to be, who my higher power would want me to be, and If it doesn't align, then, you know, then I either I'm going to change or I'm not. And if I'm not, then I don't know what I'm doing here. So, you know, it's kind of like, how free do you want to be, right? So it comes to a point where it's like, okay, like, at some point, you know, it does, the behavior starts to diminish because it's not the person that I want to be, to, you know, to in any way be dishonest. And, or, you know, another big one for me, which actually, now that I think about it, I haven't done in a long time, is gossiping at work. In fact, I haven't done that like in a really long time. So that's, see, it kind of, you know, it's about being aware. It's been about like being aware and just like, and also I take that time to reflect on, you know,
not Heidi, there's five minutes left.
Thank you. I take that time also to reflect on, you know, what are the like wins for the day? Not just like, you know, the questions in the big book say like, what did you pack into the stream of life? And I do answer that question, but also I do take a moment to look at where, you know, where I've come, you know, how far I've come. Because I spend a lot of time looking at all the things that I haven't done yet and I don't have right. And, you know, and so it's been important for me to just appreciate how did I actually show up today for myself too. And, you know, and so, yeah, so that's been much different from my experience the first time around, and it's much more helpful. And then step 12, you know, we talk about mostly about sponsoring, and it is about sponsoring, and I'm all about sponsoring. I, you know, I think it's super important, and but I also have and also the step says practice these principles in all our affairs. And so, you know, that is where I feel like my work is right now in my recovery is really, you know, how am I showing up in the rest of my life? I absolutely love working with people and taking them through the book. I always have at least one person going through the book. I do have a job that is long hours, but I always have at least one person that I'm taking through the book. I talk to my recovered sponsees on a regular basis, and I try to always just be available, you know, whenever I can for outreach, for my sponsees, for whatever, and certainly for service. I try to stay involved in service. But then when I step outside of these rooms, you know, how am I behaving? And so I'm in this place currently today of having an awareness around how I'm showing up in my relationships at work, with my family, with my friends. And just trying to do it a little bit better each day. So I feel like that was really scattered. And hopefully I said something coherent, but I'm really grateful for the invite, and I will leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Heidi.